This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
It's time.
It's time.
Time to get in the zone.
Time to get in the zone.
With the 49ers Web Zone.
This is the No Huddle Podcast.
With Al and Brian.
Web Zone, No Huddle Podcast, part of the Odyssey Network. I am Al Sacco, back from vacation with you as well as with my man, Brian Rennick. So I was on a cruise, Brian. Have you ever been on a cruise?
You were on a boat. I've never been on a cruise.
So very, very, I'm not like a cruise guy. Like after the first couple of days, the ship gets old. But what they don't tell you, or maybe they do, and we're just fucking stupid, is when you get off the cruise, you feel like you're on the water for days. Oh. I've been on land and feel like I'm rocking for 3 days. And I am not a happy person right now. Like I literally feel like, I don't know, like I have vertigo or some shit. It's been really, really rough.
I've had that experience just from like a day boating on a lake or whatever, where like you get off and what's funny to me is that the times I've experienced it is like a day of boating and then I get home and then I go to take a shower and I think just the water and everything. And all of a sudden I'm just kind of like swaying in the shower. Like what the hell is happening? So
I
can imagine.
Yeah, the same thing happened to me in the shower, and I read it's the enclosure. Yeah. Like it messes with you, dude. It's okay. Just if you're ever been, don't go on a cruise. Go to like an all inclusive thing. You do the same shit with excursions, and you're not gonna feel like you're rocking later. So, all right, couple of things I got to hit. First thing I want to say is, I myself have developed a partnership with Panini, who is just phenomenal sports cards. And if you go to my Twitter page right now, I'm doing another giveaway from Panini, where I'm giving away some the new product rookies and stars that they have out. And if you're watching any clips from us, you can see I have the box here right with me. I'm giving away some numbered 49ers cards. Deebo Samuel numbered to 50. Nick Bosa numbered cards and some autos too. AJ Dillon's in there. Cool. All you have to do is like it or retweet it. You enter and check out Panini. Check out Rookies and Stars because their stuff is awesome. All right, Brian. Peter King retired. And
I know.
Peter King is a legend. Just an absolute legend. One of the things that I thought about when I saw that is when you meet – or like, you know, we have a lot of people on the show and a lot of times it's just in passing, right? We may talk to somebody for 15 minutes out of our lives, but it's somebody we never thought that we would really talk to.
Yeah.
And you never know what these people are like. When we had Peter King on, we were both kind of like, wow, this, okay, that's big time. Like it's this huge, is going to be Peter King. And we were both really excited. Mm-hmm. And I just kind of wondered as he was going on, it was what, maybe like 11:30 in the morning or something when we interviewed him East Coast.
Yeah, it wasn't late in the day or anything for sure.
Yeah. And I thought, okay, you know, what's he going to be like? Is he just going to get this done? Is this a business thing for him? You know, 15 minutes and I'm out. Some people, they are contractually obligated and they're just, you know, here and there. But we get on the call with this legend, right? And he pops up on the screen or whatever, and he's nice as can be. And he says to us, guys, hold on. I'm just finishing up my tea. So we're like, okay. You know, I'm worried he's going to be like, all right, let's get this going. So he's making his tea and he comes and sits back and he's just asking me and Brian about me and Brian. It was awesome.
Yeah.
We're talking for a little while. And he said, do you guys want to see my apartment? And we're like, sure.
So he gave us a visual. Apartment. Yeah.
Yeah, he gave us a virtual tour of his Brooklyn apartment. And then we did the interview, and he was awesome on the interview, gave us, you know, really thoughtful answers. And then we talked to him for like 10, 15 minutes after.
Yeah.
He was such a great person. And I just, every time something like that, I just want to share it with the listeners. He's retiring. He's a legend. He deserves all his kudos for what he's accomplished in his career. And the listeners, as he deserves to know, is as good as he was as a writer and covering the game. He was an even better person. And Brian and I experienced that firsthand.
Yeah. You know, I feel like when I think about kind for me specifically, right, I'm 41. When I think about like the legends that have covered this game, or at least the ones that I felt like were like I couldn't miss their column or whatever. And a lot of it was Peter King was there for a lot of it. But I felt like Peter King kind of picked up the mantle when Paul Zimmerman or Dr. Z, you know, he developed health issues and whatnot, but I know Peter King had a great relationship with him. But again, it was these Sports Illustrated writers. And, you know, even when Peter King left Sports Illustrated and his Monday morning football in America, you know, or Monday morning quarterback was his column. And, you know, Albert Breer picked it up for SI and he's done a great job. And, you know, I read him as well, but it's always been Peter. Peter's always been the one that every Monday I'm like, all right, I got to read Peter's column because it's going to be full of anecdotes that you're not going to get anywhere else. It's going to be full of heart. It's going to be full of things that aren't always about football. And I just really genuinely appreciated not only Peter's coverage of the game, but, you know, just the fact that while he covered the game better than anybody, he also left room for important topics, art, things like that, where it was like, this is a guy that recognizes that, you know, he's a football writer, but more than that, he writes for the humans that read his stuff. And I genuinely appreciated Peter. And one of the things I thought was cool was that he took the opportunity. Granted, nobody knew this was coming. He released this article and was like, hey, by the way, I'm retiring. You're like, wait, what? Like, what the heck? But he drew attention to some of the people that he thinks are kind of going to are picking up the mantle or going to pick up the mantle as we move forward. And one of them was Albert Breer. But one of the things that I thought and because I do genuinely appreciate this guy, but he Peter King called out. Or I don't know, called out seems like the wrong word, but he drew attention to Benjamin Solak, who writes for The Ringer. And we've talked about Ben and some of his, you know, it's not Stephen Ruiz, right? Stephen Ruiz is our Brock Purdy hater, right? But I really, really like what Benjamin does. And he's a really young guy. I think he's in his early to mid 20s, but just a very intelligent guy, writes really well about football. In fact, there was an article prior to the Super Bowl that Ben put out that I thought was required reading for any fan, for any 49er fan. And it was all about how, you know, how we talk about and think about the Kyle Shanahan offense and the kind of the buzzwords that people use, which is like play action and outside zone. And, you know, he went through this entire article with clips and everything where it was like, Kyle Shanahan doesn't even run the Kyle Shanahan offense anymore, the way that we know it. Right. A lot less play action, a lot less outside zone, a lot more, right? And it was a great example of a narrative not fitting anymore based on evidence, but people still just spewing the narrative regardless. And again, not in a negative way, but it was just really cool to learn a little bit more, for me at least, about the X's and O's of what Shanahan has done to evolve this offense. And so I thought it was cool that he pointed out Ben as well. So yeah, Peter King, a legend in the industry. Hopefully he's not gone just, you know, cold turkey. We don't get anything from him anymore. And I imagine that's not the case, but I will miss Peter's Monday column for sure. It was required reading for me during the season, and to not have it next season is kind of a sad thing to think about.
But you know what we do have, Brian, is we have the San Francisco 49ers, who yes, are a never-ending content machine. I love covering this team. It's not just that I'm a fan of this team. I can't even imagine covering another team because no other team just keeps giving you nugget after nugget after nugget. Even though we're in February, even though there really shouldn't be that much to talk about, I feel like there is so much to talk about with the 49ers. The season ended Okay, their season ended the 11th of February. That was the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
And you're thinking, okay, remember Brian and I are texting back and forth. We got to find stuff to talk about now and everything else. But we cover the 49ers. So there's always something happening. In 16 days, that's all it's been, we have the Brandon Ayuk drama about his brother and his girlfriend putting things on social media about maybe he's leaving. 2 days later or a day after that, whatever it was, they fire Steve Wilks. You think, okay, they're going to have another defensive coordinator, you know, within a week or so. But no, because they're the 49ers. So 2 weeks have still gone by and people are saying, oh, what about Belichick? What about Pete Carroll? Which is just crazy. That's never happening. But because it's the Niners, those names are going to get attached to the team like this. But we still don't know. They still don't know. We know they interviewed Brandon Staley. We know Daniel Bullock is in the mix. Chris Kiffin. We know there's some names in the mix, and there's still some people yet to interview. And I know you touched on it last week, the show when I wasn't here. But we'll find out soon, maybe tomorrow, maybe Thursday, maybe Friday. But you just got to love this team. They just keep you hanging on, man. They just
never
ending. I love it.
It's interesting to me, you know, one of the things that I brought up was that Kyle Shanahan, every season that he's been here, when there's been staff changes, has made and completed those staff changes by the time the combine started. And the combine started yesterday. The combine is this week in Indianapolis. And no word whatsoever, not only on who the DC is going to be, but really kind of vague and secretive about who the candidates have been. And, you know, it did come out, like you said, they did interview Brandon Staley. They did interview Daniel Bullock's on the staff. Nick Sorensen is supposed to interview this week. He's also an internal candidate, but it just seems like a drawn out process. And it seems like it's gone on longer than likely it should have, because it's not like they're competing with other teams to get interviews with these guys. They're the only team with an opening. Mm-hmm. And so all of these guys are, you know, anybody that you could think of is available right now to interview or whatnot. So the fact that it's taken this long is just kind of weird to me. And I don't know that it says anything. I'm not trying to make connections. I'm not trying to spew conspiracies or anything like that. You know, I think a lot of people think that the longer it's gone on, it's because the 49ers are trying their hardest to lure Bill Belichick. I still don't think that's the case. No. I don't dismiss it out of hand anymore just because of how long it's taken, but
maybe Jeff Ulbrich, and it's complicated.
You know, and that's Tim Kawakami tweeted out last week that he thought that they were close to hiring somebody. And then in his mailbag column, his prediction was Jeff Ulbrich former 49er. But he's the current defensive coordinator for the New York Jets.
Yeah,
I'm not certain why the Jets would be open to him making a lateral move. That seemed really weird to me. I'm not sure. And you know, I was on record right after they fired Steve Wilks that I thought that Brandon Staley might be the most intriguing candidate. And it seems like he is a candidate. And there's been a lot of people that have poo-pooed that. But again, you look at guys like Steve Spagnuolo, who were disasters as head coaches, but really good coordinators. Mm-hmm. And you think maybe that's just what Staley's lot in life is. And that would be tremendous, because again, the season that he was with the Rams was really, really, really good. And, you know, people want to say, well, it's because he had, you know, Jalen Ramsey and Aaron Donald. Well, again, the cupboard's not bare in San Francisco. So the longer this goes on, the weirder it is to me, but it certainly seems like it doesn't really matter to the 49ers. John Lynch was at the podium today and, you know, somebody asked, like, is it hard to be here without a defensive coordinator? And he basically said, like, no, because we know who we want to be. We know what we want to run. And so, you know, I don't know if that means that internal candidates are more likely or less likely, but it certainly seems like they're not hurting for not having anybody hired at the position yet.
Yeah. One other thing that's cool about covering a team that's really good and always plays late in the playoffs is you don't have that far of a turnaround until things start to happen again. And like we said, the Niners pretty much stopped playing about 2 weeks ago. And here we are at the combine already, and we're getting ready for the draft and free agency. And I think this draft is huge for the 49ers. And I'll tell you why after this.
Selling a little or a lot. Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
So why do I think this draft is huge for the 49ers? The Niners have had three drafts that I don't know if it's those last three, which I call the Trey Lance drafts, because they really didn't have first round picks other than Lance in the last 3 years. They didn't get anything there. They really didn't get anything in the second round. They haven't gotten guys to play tackle and come in and replace Trent Williams. They haven't, you know, the depth at defensive end, you know, guys they normally take in the first couple rounds for the lines and that sort of thing. They haven't been able to do that. So I started looking at their drafts and what they did in the last 3 years and what they did before that. Here's what I came up with. The reason the 49ers are the 49ers as you know them right now, a large reason for that is because they got stars in core players from 2017 through 2020 in the draft. So 2017, you get George Kittle, one of the top two tight ends in the NFL. He's making $20 million or whatever it is. They gave him a second contract. He is a core blue chip player. 2018, you draft Fred Warner in the third round, probably the best linebacker in the league. Another huge contract guy that you keep around. 2019, you get Bosa, Debo, and Greenlaw. All guys, again, second contracts, core players. Greenlaw's a top 10 linebacker. Bosa is a former defensive player of the year. Debo's a former All-Pro. And then 2020, you get Ayuk. During that time, they also gave a second contract to Eric Armstead, who was drafted by a different regime, but still a homegrown player. So over that four-year period, you have seven guys who are homegrown and absolute core blue chip great players. And I don't mean like you could draft a good player. Mike McGlinchey was a good pick, regardless of what you think of him. He played for five seasons. He started for five seasons. He didn't get a second contract. So he wasn't an elite player, but it was a good pick. But when you're talking elite of the elite, the Niners have had six of them in those 4 years. Every year they got an elite player in the draft in those 4 years. That's why you see the team on the field that you see now. The last 3 years, Brian, I'd argue maybe they haven't drafted one elite player. And I'll go through it with you why I think that. So if you look at 2021, I'm sorry, the Lance draft, they take Lance, complete bust. Aaron Banks, again, maybe that's a good pick. If, you know, I don't know that he had the best season, but maybe he's a guy that plays guard for them for a while, but he's not a core game changer like a Kittle or a Warner. Nobody's going to say, you could call him a good pick, but nobody's going to say that's an elite pick. He's not Alan Faneca. You know, he's not Larry Allen. Trey Sermon, obviously not. Ambry Thomas probably won't be on the team much longer. Jalen Moore, no. Lenore, terrific pick in the fifth round. Hufanga, also terrific pick in the fifth round. Those are two guys who maybe will stay. So they could be guys who, as we get into 2025, that maybe are part of the answer. Maybe you're still building around them. Are they cornerstone blue chip guys? maybe that remains to be seen. They're both really good players, so you could say that. And then Elijah Mitchell, who was a good pick, but he's not going to get a second contract. Then you look at 2022. Drake Jackson doesn't look like that's working out. TDP, he's gone. Danny Gray can't get on the field. Spencer Burford is rotating at guard. I think that's a position you need to upgrade. Sam Womack, Nick Sakel, Kalia Davis, Castro Fields. Nothing there to write home about. And then you have Brock Purdy, who I think is the one guy in these three drafts that you could say is a blue chip cornerstone guy for sure. And then this past draft, we don't know, but Jair Brown, starter. I think he could be a starter. I don't think he's going to be a cornerstone blue chip guy. Jake Moody's a kicker. Cameron Latu looked like he should have been cut in the preseason. Luter, Beal, Winters, Braden Willis, Bell, Graham. Maybe a couple of the linebackers work out, you know, D Winters works out. But again, you can't look at any of these guys and say they're blue chip cornerstone guys. Mm-hmm. So that's what worries me about the last 3 years. When you look at those drafts, you have maybe three players, maybe, that you can say, yeah, when 2025 hits, these guys are going to be on the team for the next 5 or 6 years, and they're going to be starters, and you build around them. Definitely Purdy, maybe Lenore, probably Hufanga, if his knee comes back, okay. But they didn't get, I don't think, in those drafts, a Kittle, a Debo, an Ayuk, a Bosa, a Warner. These people that have made the 49ers the 49ers, they haven't gotten them these last three drafts. That's why this draft is huge. They have to get not only impact guys, but guys that are going to be cornerstones to build around in 2025, when you may not have George Kittle, when you may not have a Trent Williams, when McCaffrey's 30 years old, when maybe Debo is possibly not on the team. They have to start getting that second wave of the core, and they have to start that now.
Yeah, it's arguably the most important draft that they've had since 2019, when they had the second overall pick and got Nick Bosa. Like you said, they've been able to weather the Trey Lance debacle largely because they got Brock Purdy, and mm-hmm. they were already a really good team that was snake bit by injuries in 2020. So they had a higher draft pick that they were able to parlay into, you know, the trade up for Lance. And so, you know, a lot of times people like to trivialize the loss of those first round picks because this team is so good that those first round picks are glorified second rounders, but there's still an advantage of having a first round pick. And that's the fifth year option, which, you know, is a great tool for teams to have when it comes to roster building, because, you know, you would argue that those first round picks are tend to be the most talented, you know, in the draft. And so to be able to get that fifth year at a lower cost and then parlay that into an extension or whatever, that is an advantage. And so the reality is the Trey Lance trade and the failure of Trey Lance, the roster problems are coming home to roost now. Mm-hmm. Right. And that's what you're talking about. The lack of depth, the lack of future at left or right tackle, the lack of future at defensive end opposite Nick Bosa, the lack of future at tight end, right? The lack of future, you know, I like where they are in the secondary, which is interesting to me because that used to be a real weakness of this team. And mm-hmm. as it stands now, you know, I think they could extend Ward again to another 2 or 3 year contract and maybe lower his cap hit this season. And now you've got Mooney Ward and Lenore, and then, you know, try and bring in another guy from the draft. Right. But I like where the secondary is. They're young, you know, even with Hufanga and Brown and Lenore and even Mooney Ward, who I think is only still 27, if not 28, but, I don't like where they're at with their linebacking core, because we just haven't seen a lot. We didn't see really anything from D Winters or Jalen Graham. D Winters seemed to me, when he was drafted, to be kind of that eye towards being a Greenlaw replacement, but we never really saw him on the field, so it's hard to know what they have in him. I imagine we're going to see more of him. But along the offensive line, you see it. You know, it's a really, outside of Trent Williams, who is the rising tide that lifts all boats. It's a pretty piss poor offensive line. Aaron Banks played well last season, didn't play as well this season.
Wasn't as good this year.
And then Jake Brendel is just average at center.
And he's 33. And then, Jake Brendel is not a 26-year-old dude. Yeah. Jake Brendel's been around for a while. He's in his mid-30s.
Yeah, and right guard is just a black hole like it has been, and right tackle is a black hole like it has been.
Yeah, you need an upgrade.
They just haven't addressed some of these things, and those are the both Super Bowl losses can be attributed to that offensive line, and yet they still refuse to address it or put the necessary investment of capital, whether that be a free agent like Mike Nwenu, who I think would be huge for them, or you know, an early round pick at tackle. You know, they didn't have a first round pick last year, didn't have a second round pick, but there were some third round picks at tackle that started in the NFL this past season and looked really good. Now, whether they were a fit for them or not, hard to know. Obviously, if they didn't take them, I would assume they thought they weren't, but it's still, as a fan, hard to be like, you saw this coming and you thought McKivitz was the answer, and why? Like, what did you see from McKivitz that made you think that he was the answer at right tackle? And again, why aren't we addressing right guard? Like, Spencer Burford, isn't it? But yeah, this is, to me, this is the most important draft for the future of this team since 2019. And it'll be interesting to see how it goes, because this will be the first draft without Adam Peters. Lynch announced today that Tariq Ahmad is essentially been elevated to that role. He's not assistant GM, but he is now director of of player personnel. And there was another name, and I don't remember, who has been elevated to director of pro personnel. But this will be their first draft without who a lot of people attribute to the late round success for this 49ers team, and that is Adam Peters. He's not there anymore. So where they've made their hay in the later rounds, can they continue to do that without Peters' leadership? And then can they draft players in the first, second, and third round, which have been really, really bad rounds for them? They've been really bad at drafting in the first, second, and third round, which is wild when you consider how much talent is on the team. And then you look and it's like, well, yeah, that, you know, outside of Fred Warner, nothing in the third round, you know, but in the fourth and fifth round, you've got guys like Kittle and Greenlaw and, Hufanga, you know, Lenore, Hufanga and Lenore, and right. And you're like, where's that DJ success? Jones, where's that success? Really in, yeah. DJ Jones was a sixth round pick. Where's that success in the early round? So, you know, I'm really intrigued by what it is that they do in this draft and whether or not they recognize the shortcomings of that offensive line and sink a lot of capital in it in this draft. I think they need to come away with a starting right tackle and a starting right guard from this draft if they're going to fix anything that has kept them from winning a Super Bowl against the Kansas City Chiefs in 2019 and now in 2023.
And they have to get better at the defensive line. And I was listening to Peter Schrager on Good Morning Football. Had to be yesterday. It had to be on Monday. He said something that really caught my attention, and I'll tell you why after this. So Peter's on Good Morning Football, and Peter Schrager is, you know, he's tight with the Niners. He's generally very positive about the 49ers. And he had a segment where he was talking about just, are the Niners going to have a Super Bowl hangover? He brought up some points, and it was one of those things where I'm sitting there and I'm eating my breakfast and like, I'm like, you're making me nervous, Peter. Like, you're making me nervous. But he brought up a lot of valid points. And I think it's points that because the 49ers have been so good and because they keep coming back, I think a lot of fans gloss it over and say, oh, we'll be okay. Peter was like, they've had some really long seasons. Mm-hmm. And this is an older team now. You have 3 years in a row where you're playing about 20 games a year. And I think the Niners are the third oldest team in the league, or they're right about there. So they are an older team. Their stars are getting up there. And Peter was like, can you get back again? It's really difficult. And they were talking about the defense, and Ryan Leaf was there for Kyle Brandt. And he said, well, you're talking about Steve Wilks. You know, they got rid of Steve Wilks, who had one of the best statistical defenses. And I'm like, dude, you clearly didn't watch him. I don't care what the stats said. But then Ryan Leaf said, and we know how good the defensive line is. And Peter said, Not this year, they weren't.
Yeah.
And that really got me thinking. And I was like, you know what, man? Like, you're right. They really weren't. They had moments, but they weren't consistently the 49ers defensive line that we've seen and become used to. And when you look at this year, you brought up all valid points, Brian. They have to fix the offensive line. They need this and that. They don't have another defensive end. They really don't. I mean, Jake Jackson's on the team, whatever, but and they went into this year with huge question marks there, and they're not going to re-sign Chase Young unless Chase Young takes a team-friendly incentive, you know.
They shouldn't re-sign Chase Young.
No, nor should they. Yeah, I'm thrilled he decided to fucking show up in the Super Bowl. Thanks, man. You know what I mean? Like, we didn't see it before then, and he certainly didn't show up in the NFC Championship game. So I don't want to, sorry, man. Go get your contract somewhere else as far as I'm concerned with that. But they didn't play well on the defensive line this year. You know, Armstead was hurt towards the end of the year. But again, this is probably Armstead's last season. And he's in his 30s. And this is likely Javon Hargrave's last season. And he's in his 30s because they can get out of Hargrave's contract after this year. Mm-hmm. They need to address the shit out of the defensive line.
Mm-hmm.
Or you're looking at, again, this all in for 2024. And then it's going to be like, well, I don't know. What do we do now? In this draft, you have to get, offensive linemen. If they even – they prioritize tackle, but it seems like they don't give a shit about guard. So we'll see what they do.
It doesn't make sense because that's what
– I know they took Aaron Banks in the second round, but it seems like guard and center sometimes it's like – you know, they did prioritize it with Weston Richburg when they signed him, but then you're going with Brendel. In guard, you take Aaron Banks in the second round, but then you're literally rotating other guard the other side. I really don't know. And that's a huge thing. You're right. But the defensive line, this is the bread and butter of this team. This is the reason why this defense has been so good. They need upgrades there. They need players that can stop the run in the middle, and they need probably a couple more defensive ends. And we'll see if they maybe go after somebody like a Bryce Huff or somebody like that in free agency. But they need to address that. The Niners defensive end right now, there's names, but it is not the 49ers defensive line that you think that it is. And that some of these people, even nationally, are going to say, well, that line's great. And somebody who's tied into the team like Peter is saying, well, hold on. Well, it wasn't this year.
Yeah.
And if somebody like that says that, Peter Schrager is saying that with how complimentary he is of the 49ers and how close he is with the 49ers, pay attention.
Yeah. You know, and I think there's moves to be made at defensive end, similar to what they did with like a Samson Ebukam, where, you know, you do a 2-year deal for a guy that showed potential, but maybe not a lot of, production. They've really, really, really missed. You know, they were at their best in 2019 when they had Nick Bosa on one side and D Ford on the other on obvious passing downs with DeForest Buckner and Eric Armstead in the middle. And I really think that they've been trying to get back there, but just haven't succeeded, you know, and I think the Ebukam signing was, you know, an attempt at that. And while Ebukam was a fine player and even a good player at times, it wasn't, you know, it wasn't D Ford, and that's fine. Like, D Ford, when healthy, was a superstar. It's just the problem was he was never healthy. And, you know, so there are names out there like a Bryce Huff, or for me, it's Josh Uche from the Patriots. That's my prize of this free agent class, if you will. To be perfectly honest, it's Mike Onwenu and Josh Uche, both from the Patriots. If they could get both of those guys, which they could, you know, there's definitely, they not only are they rolling over almost $38 million in cap space this season, but there are moves to be made to give themselves more, including, you know, I read today that there is talk of working through a possible extension for Fred Warner, which would again lower his cap hit this season and keep him here, you know, basically through the arguably the end of his career, I would assume. But so they can be players in free agency, and they're going to have to be, because they can't plug all these holes with draft picks, right? Like, some of these holes are too important to just hope on a draft pick, right? Hope on a number 31 overall pick, or hope on a, you know, a late second round pick to be these guys. And so, you know, there's no doubt in my mind that within the first three rounds, they will address the defensive line at least once. And maybe even depending upon who is available at 31, if the tackles that they like aren't there, and, you know, they think that there's not a big difference between a tackle they could get at 31 and a tackle that they could get late in second round, then maybe they go with like a defensive end, like a Darius, is it Darius Robinson from Missouri, who is a riser in this draft. There are some other defensive end prospects. So they're definitely going to address that defensive line because they do all the time. I mean, that's, like you said, right. That's their bread and
they'll
butter.
Make it a priority. Yeah.
Yeah. They'll definitely make it a priority. And I think they'll make it a priority in both free agency and in the draft. But the Super Bowl hangover is, I mean, you can't really look at 2020 as a Super Bowl hangover for the 49ers because, I mean, it was COVID. It was just a weird ass season. Yeah. Like, it just is what it was. You know, it was what it was. You know, Nick Bosa went down with his knee injury in week two. Solomon Thomas the same week. Like, they were just snake bit by injuries. So it's hard to even think, like, you can't even really reflect on how they did after that previous Super Bowl loss and say, hey, like, we can expect this. But I also feel like this team is too top heavy and too full of veteran leadership to fall victim to a Super Bowl hangover. The problem for me is that everybody in the division outside of the Cardinals, but you know, don't know what they're going to do, but are going to be better. The Rams are going to be better. The Seahawks are going to be better. And the Seahawks also hired the guy whose defense kicked the shit out of you on national TV on Christmas. Now that guy's running the defense in Seattle now. And he seems to have a bit of, you know, he seems to have Kyle Shanahan figured out a little bit. Now, granted, that was one example, so we'll see. But the NFC is not going to be as easy as it was this past season. The Lions are going to be better. The Eagles are probably going to be better. The Cowboys are the Cowboys. They're going to be good, whether they're a threat or not, improving. Who knows, right? So to me, it's not necessarily a Super Bowl hangover, but rather the path isn't going to be as easy. And this is a team that is old enough that they need a bye. And I don't anticipate them being good enough to earn the bye next year. Their schedule is going to be too tough and they're just, you know, they're a year older and I don't know, but you know, they could come out and absolutely prove me wrong, but you never know. So to me, it's not a Super Bowl hangover so much as it's just a harder path. And this was, you know, we kept saying it, this was the year. This was the year for them.
Really was.
The Chiefs are going to be better next year. Let's be real about that.
That's true.
The Chiefs are going to be better next year. They're going to re-sign Chris Jones. They're probably going to re-sign LeJarius Sneed. They're going to sign or draft or both a receiver, right? Like, they're going to be better. So where are the 49ers going to get better? Where do they get better? That's the question.
I think part of what they have to do, we were talking about the defensive line. I think back to 2021. Where I don't know that there were household names on a lot of the defensive line, but just remember their playoff run.
Waves.
They just had people shook. Mm-hmm. That defensive line played terrific, and it was guys like Menihu and Ibukam and Jordan Willis and DJ Jones. Guys like that who are not, you know, DJ Jones got a big contract, but these guys may not be household names, but they're just really good players. And there were just waves of them coming at you, wave after wave after wave. And then you got your superstars in Armstead and Bosa too. You still got your superstars there, even though some are a little bit older. Hargrave, you know, again, for I don't know that he was worth what they paid him this year for what the whole season.
I mean, he didn't have the same kind of season he did in Philly, but
no, he did not. And then you didn't have those other guys. Chase Young's a name, but I would have rather had Ibukam and Menihu. You know what I mean? Yeah. So, like, they still haven't really replaced DJ Jones to help in the run game. So it's things like that where they have to get better. They have to add, whether it's through the draft, free agency, a little bit of both. It doesn't be a $20 million guy. Be somebody like a Menihu who you're like, oh, I don't really know this guy. And then he comes in and he's a perfect fit. They didn't break the bank for Ibukam. These are guys that they have to go and get again. So they have the waves of people to throw at you in the defensive line. That's how you win games. You couple that with now Brock Purdy on offense and Christian McCaffrey and a lot of the guys who are still going to be there, at least for 2024. Now we're talking. And, you know, now I feel really good again. And I'm not saying the Niners aren't going to do this. I'm not here like, oh, geez, you know, this team doesn't know what they're doing. They've proven they know what they're doing, but they've made some choices because that's money or whatever the reason where they don't have this depth right now. They don't have these guys. So that's just what I want to see this offseason. And I can't wait. I'm literally looking forward to see what they do in free agency and in the draft. But these are things like, listen, for our listeners, take off the red and gold glasses. You got a year with this core. Mm-hmm. And there's the depth. We've been talking about all the holes. The Niners have work to do. And I'm not saying they're not going to do the work. They may very well do the work. And in 2 years, we're like, holy shit, look at the last two drafts and look how well they did. That could really happen because we've seen them do it. But there is work to be done this offseason.
No doubt. And like I said, I think the question becomes how do you as a team get better, right? It's going to be hard to improve upon the offensive performance that they had this past season, but they have to. Right. Because in the end, as good as they were on offense, they scored 22 points in the Super Bowl. Like, it's not enough. That's not enough. Mm-hmm. And, you know, if you want to win a Super Bowl, you're probably going to have to go through the Chiefs. So how do you get better? I think one way and one thing that they need to look at is to add an element of speed to this team, because as 100%. Good as Debo is with the ball in his hands, as good as Ayuk is as a route runner, neither one of them are taking the top off the defense. There's no threat of that. They need that threat again. They need, you know, they, as ridiculous as it sounds, they need Marquise Goodwin. They need Taylor Gabriel, right? Who was that guy for Kyle Shanahan in Atlanta. And I think they thought they might've had that in Danny Gray. It hasn't worked out. So now you need to look somewhere else. And I would venture to say that that's not the draft, because Kyle Shanahan has proven over and over that if he drafts a wide receiver, that wide receiver is not going to be productive in his offense for the first season, maybe two. I think Ayuk is the exception to the rule. Debo's the exception to the rule, but every other, you know, wide receiver that they've drafted hasn't really done anything. You know, you might even think, oh, well, what about Juwan Jennings? Juwan Jennings was cut after he was drafted. They brought him back on a reserve future contract, which is why he's a reserve free agent this season. And so they need somebody to take the top off the defense. They need something different. They need a changeup. They need to be able to keep other defensive coordinators on their toes, because it sure seems like Steve Spagnuolo knows how to slow down and stop this 49ers offense. And it sure seems like Mike McDonald knows how to slow down and stop this 49ers offense. And they got to do something. And then on the defense, like you said, I think the biggest thing they can do to get better on defense is to get better on the line. And that involves bringing in more players for depth and impact, but also it requires those players like Nick Bosa, Javon Hargrave, and Eric Armstead to step up and perform better. Not that Armstead didn't, but Armstead was hurt a lot, and that's the bigger issue there. So, you know, I think that's how they...
surgery. Didn't he have surgery? Didn't he have like
he a, did. A pretty decent... He had a torn meniscus.
Okay, yeah.
A torn meniscus, you know, and then his plantar fasciitis.
Yeah, he played through a lot this year.
Still yeah, and well. Mooney Ward just had surgery. He didn't say what it was, but based on where the photo he posted on social media, that clinic specializes in core muscle injuries. So it sounds like he had a groin issue that he played through. And I think Javon Hargrave had a torn thumb ligament that he had to get repaired. And George Kittle still has shoulder issues that need repair, but I doubt he's going to get it. So again, older, more injured. Like, you know, Greenlaw's coming off an Achilles. I mean, there are real barriers to this team competing for a Super Bowl next season. And the way that you overcome those is by being aggressive and smart in free agency and the draft. And that's why both of these periods now are super, super important for this team.
You brought up the speed on offense. I was listening to Guy Haberman had, I think his name was Ethan Strauss. I think was his name on his pod. He had him on his podcast recently. And Ethan had said that the Niners need to add speed. And they were talking about it. He's like, they don't have anybody who can stretch the defense. He's like, Debo can do it with the ball in his hands, but he's not somebody who could do it downfield. And they brought up playing the Super Bowl when he didn't have separation. And the guy said, I've seen him run that play and practice a million times. Debo never has separation on that play unless he's schemed open. And Ayuk is a phenomenal route runner, but they don't have the speed. So I looked at Danny Gray runs a 4.33, but Danny Gray's never going to get on the field. Right. And I looked up their 40 times, and I think Debo's the fastest at 4.48. And yeah. then Ayuk was 4-5 and mm-hmm. Jennings was like 4-7-4. I absolutely love Juwan Jennings. Terrific, you know, intermediate player. But they do need to get a guy, even if you take one shot a game or one shot every couple of games, just that's going to keep you honest. Get that receiver.
Just to give him something to think about.
Right. Just chuck it down, whatever. Chuck it down the field once or twice a game, you mm-hmm. know, to give him something to think about. And I think that can open up. Like you said, they need to get better. That's something that can make them better as well. And I'm interested to see if there's I haven't done really any draft prep yet, but I'll have to look at some guys with speed and everything that might be good fits for that.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's an important offseason for the 49ers, not only for 2024, but for the future as well. And I am genuinely excited to see how it plays out. And I just hope that they have self-scouted and they see some of these same weaknesses, some of these same areas to improve, and they attack them. And they do it, like I said, with aggression, but also with some smart moves. And, you know, they haven't given me any reason to think that they won't. And so that's where my excitement comes from. But it is a different front office now. It is a different coaching staff, and it's just, you know, we'll just have to see how things shake out. The first domino being defensive coordinator, and then we'll go from there.
Yeah. And I know last show I was on, I talked about, I wanted to talk about some coaches that I think Kyle Shanahan compares to throughout history. I'll do that next show because we're running out of time, but I think that's a pretty interesting thing to talk about. So we'll hit it up next time. But until then, for Brian, I'm out.
Later.
That is on three. 1, 2, 3. Hey!
.400 Sports is an Odyssey company.